So open with me in your copy of God's Word to the passage that was read for us just a few minutes ago, Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. I got trapped this week where I don't like to be. I got caught in some Facebook videos. There is a series of videos where they interview celebrities and have them share what their last meal would be. And they actually bring all that food to a table. And it got me thinking, what would be my last meal? Have you ever thought that? Are you morbid like me? How about this? What are some of your favorite foods? We asked this around the kitchen table, around the dining room table last night. And I had one daughter say Costco's chicken Alfredo, the take and bake meal. I had one daughter say sushi, even though she's never had more than just the Hy-Vee sample of sushi there. Another daughter, what did Macy say? Do you remember? Probably candy and butter. A lot of butter for Macy. My last meal, I listed off any number of things, and my wife kindly pointed out that I did not list off anything that she cooks at home. And I thought, missed opportunity there. There's a fable that I actually read in two different spots this week, so I thought it was worth sharing with you. You know what a fable is, right? It's a story. It's a fictional story with some truth behind it. And the fable goes like this. There was a very rich king. This king had everybody at his disposal. And this king called his cook, his head chef, to him and said this. I want you to prepare for me the best dish in the world. The best dish you can make. So a few days later, the chef came to him and with a silver platter, opened up the silver platter, and what was on it was a tongue. And that stumped the king a little bit. And so he said, now I want you to go out and I want you to prepare the worst dish, the most disgusting dish in the world. A few days passed, and the royal chef came with the same silver platter with a lid on, opened the lid. You know what the worst dish was? The tongue. And the king asked the cook, why a tongue for the best and the worst? And the cook said this, the tongue can be the best thing in the world or the worst thing in the world, depending on how it's served. We are in the middle of our summer series in the book of Proverbs, and there is no talking about the book of Proverbs without addressing the tongue. The Bible makes a clear line. You know somebody's a fool by how they speak. You know somebody's a wise man by how they speak. And there is power in our speech. And if we're going to be wise people, if we're going to be people that are skilled for life, we must understand the power of the tongue. Now, this week, I decided to try to tackle as much of the Proverbs addressing speech as I could. And so I went across the hall into the classroom and worked on a whiteboard. And this is some of my chicken scratches on a whiteboard. Now look at that for a moment. You can't read the specifics, but look how many numbers are written on that board. Did you know how often the book of Proverbs talks about speech, lips, the tongue, words, and foolishness and wisdom? It's everywhere. If you start reading the book of Proverbs, you see it everywhere. But we are not going to be able to cover everything that Proverbs teaches about the tongue. But I want us to understand some key things. First is the power of words. The power of words. Your words are powerful. The words you communicate verbally, the things you communicate non-verbally, the words you type, the words you message, the words you share on social media, all of that, our speech is powerful. And Proverbs makes that clear. You're in Proverbs chapter 10. We see in the first few verses, starting in verse 6, the effect of words on your own life. Look at what Proverbs 10:6 says. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. So based on what you say, you might experience blessing or violence or oppression, you could say it that way. Based on what you say, your life will be affected with blessing or violence. Verse 7 says, the memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. So based on what you say and based on your communication, you can create a lasting, joyful memory. My dad always used to say this, or grandma used to always say this, and it's a fond memory. Or it says here, the name of the wicked will rot. People might have a negative, rotting memory of you based on what you say. Verse 8 says, for the person who speaks, there's either reception or ruin. It says, the wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. Based on what you say will be well received. It will be like a glass of refreshing water after mowing the lawn, or a babbling fool will come to ruin. You know people, I know people, who based on what they've said, they've ruined their lives. One idle, careless word has totally brought their life to ruin. That's the effect on our own life, but also words are powerful to affect others. Look at verse 10. It says, whoever winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will come to ruin. With Proverbs wisdom, with Solomonic wisdom, the author says this, even a wink of an eye. You know those nonverbal communications? You can roll your eyes, you could wink at somebody and totally, you know, heap judgment on them or gang up on them, that are even our nonverbal communication can cause grief. It says, whoever winks the eye causes trouble. And there's that statement again. And a babbling fool will come to ruin. His own life will be ruined, and the lives of others will be ruined about him. We also know from our with our words that it can either be a fountain of life or oppression. Look at verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Now think back in Solomon's day. How do you get water? You don't turn on the tap. You don't buy jugs of distilled water at the grocery store. You had to find a consistent source of running water. Not stale or stagnant or poisoned or diluted or dirty, but a fountain of life. And he says here, the mouth of the righteous person is like life-giving water. It just continually gives water. But it says, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. We can do damage with our words. We can hurt and harm people in severe ways with our words. Verse 12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. So you can be a conduit of hatred with your words, or of love, which covers offenses. Verse 13 says, on the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found. You can impart wisdom to the next generation. Boy, isn't that appropriate on Father's Day? Our kids remember what we say. Our kids remember what we don't say. Our words can be sources of wisdom for others. Verse 13, the contrast, because notice there's a lot of contrast. But a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense. If you're careless with your words, you will feel the rod of discipline. Verse 14 says that your words can lay up knowledge or bring ruin. It says the wise lay up knowledge. When you speak, it's like you're putting knowledge up on the shelf to be grabbed down and used later. But the mouth of a fool, again, brings ruin near. I know churches that have been split and eventually die because of words uttered from the pulpit, or words uttered in a Sunday school class, or words uttered in a business meeting. Our words can either impart knowledge or bring ruin. Do you see the power of words here? The book of Proverbs goes on to say that our words have the power to heal or to destroy. Proverbs 12:18 is a verse worth writing down. It's a good reminder as parents says this: there's one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. I think in the Jared Segerstrom version, I would think of like one of my tools. I have a Sawzall, a battery-powered Sawzall. That Sawzall, when used correctly, can cut up tree roots, can cut through trim, it can do it all. That's why it's called a Sawzall. Not a sponsor of the church, but I'd cash that check if they sent one to me this week. It says this: if you put a saw in the wrong person's hands, man, it can do damage. You've cut yourself when working, maybe with a kitchen knife. Something that helps you chop the vegetables also slices your finger. You might even have to get stitches. It says here, there's one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. So they inflict pain and harm and damage. It says, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. It's like ointment for a burn. It's like ibuprofen for somebody with a headache. It brings healing. Our words, the same mouth, James says, can bring blessing or cursing. And we find in our words the power of life and death. Proverbs 18:21 says this: death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. I hope that verse scares you a little bit, because it does me. For those of us who are a little loose with our lips, who are free with our speaking, who like to talk first and think later, this verse stands as a warning. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And look at the last half of the verse. And those who love it will eat its fruits. You've heard that phrase, you are what you eat? I'm about 30% peanut butter and 30% Jack's frozen pizza, if that's the case. If you are what you eat. But this verse flips it around. It says here, you eat what you are. We find that in our phrase. Sometimes we'll use the phrase, he or she had to eat their words. That's what it means. If you utter life, you're going to have to eat that death fruit that your tongue produces. If you're a life-giving person with your speech, then you're going to eat those fruits as well. You eat what you are when it comes to your words. Chapter 13, verse 14 of Proverbs says this: the teachings of the wise, again, is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. The words you use, God can use those to pull people off the snares of death, away from the valley of death, the path of death, into a way of life and prosperity and joy. Our words are powerful. Isn't that clear from the book of Proverbs? And so let's unpack it a little bit. Let's talk about foolish speech that kills and destroys. Foolish speech that kills and destroys. We could summarize it this way. We're going to build on this with both foolish speech and wise speech. First is this: we use the wrong words. We simply say the wrong thing. And at the most basic level, what would be the wrong words? It'd be lying. Lying. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Do you struggle with lying? At first glance, you say, no, I don't lie. But I think this is a bigger problem than we want to admit. Think of lying like a big tent, and underneath that tent sits a few booths. We have the booth of deception. If you have to say something like this, well, it's not technically a lie, you're still under that tent, right? Where you deceive people, you intentionally withhold facts or distort facts in order to get your point across or to get to the conclusion you want. A similar booth under the tent of lying would be exaggeration. Exaggeration. We might say this: you never listen to me. Or you always do this. Now, is that true? No. We exaggerate to make our point. Somebody asks you how big your church. Oh, we have like 200 people, when in reality, we're about 110. You exaggerate. Your boss asks you how much you've gotten done this week on a project, and you exaggerate. And if you were to actually look at your productivity, it's nowhere close to what you said. That's exaggeration, and that's under this umbrella of lying lips. You might just distort the truth a little bit to make your point. I'll tell a story, and somebody will be like, well, actually, I'm not sure if that's the way it happened, and I'll jokingly say this. Don't let facts get in the way of the narrative. Like, I just want to tell the story. But in reality, the stories we tell, the narratives we relay, should correspond to truth. As God's people, we're called to live in the light, not flirt with the darkness. And what does this verse say, Proverbs 12:22? It says that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. God doesn't use that word abomination for too many things. Most of the time, abominations are in the arena of sexual immorality, murder, child sacrifice, and idolatry. That's the same category that lying lips are in God's eyes, because it goes against exactly who God is, his perfect, holy character. What did Jesus say in John 14? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So why is lying wrong? Because it violates God's perfect, holy character as a true God who presents himself in reality. Some other wrong words that the book of Proverbs addresses is gossip. Gossip, Proverbs 20, verse 19, says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. I think a babbler like a toddler. Ba, 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 ba. Just talking. Just loose lips. And we know what gossip is. And gossip isn't a female problem. It isn't a male problem. It's a human problem. We'll pass along a juicy story. And a lot of the times it's to change the listener's opinion of the person you're talking about, with the end goal of elevating yourself. A simple definition of gossip is saying something behind somebody's back that you'd never say to their face. But gossip has a twin sister, and she's ugly too, and her name's flattery. If gossip is saying something behind someone's back that you'd never say to their face, flattery is saying something to someone's face that you'd never say behind their back. This is what Proverbs says about flattery. It's Proverbs 29:5. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. You're saying such nice things here, and underneath you're casting a net for them to trip and get caught. Proverbs 26:28 says, a lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. The word English word flatter comes from a French word, which means to caress smoothly. I like what Warren Wiersbe says. Flatterers compliment you profusely, appealing to your ego, but their praise is far from sincere. They pat you on the back only to locate a soft spot in which to stick a knife. Flattery, you offer those words, but they're not from your heart. They soothe your ear in order, really, for you to either hear a compliment in return or to get something from that person later. It's very agenda-driven. And so we have these wrong words, and these are just some of the categories: lying, gossip, flattery. But a foolish person doesn't just say the wrong words, it's the wrong words spoken at the wrong time. Timing is everything with our speech. And for a foolish person, they use wrong words, and they also speak at the wrong time. Some of these wrong timing we'd call hasty or impetuous words. Proverbs 29:20, do you see a man who is hasty in his words? Do you see such a person, Proverbs asks? There is more hope for a fool than for him. The person whose gut response is always to talk and to answer and to make his opinion known and to be the loudest voice and to try to filibuster every decision that needs to be made, the book of Proverbs says there's more hope for just a straight-up fool than for someone who uses hasty words. Proverbs 18:13 is a verse I'd like not to be quoted back at me. It says this, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. Have you ever done that? Have you ever heard something but only partially heard it and immediately start responding and somebody has to say, no, that's not what I said. Listen to me before you respond. That brings shame and folly on the person that does that, right? A fool always wants to be the first to answer, always wants to have himself heard. A wise person thinks before he speaks. It's wrong words from a foolish person spoken at the wrong time and in the wrong way. So it's what we say, it's when we say it, and it's the manner or the way in which we say things. And for a foolish person, a lot of what he says is spoken in anger. In anger. Proverbs 29:22 says, a man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. Are your words laced with anger? Are you somebody that flies off the handle? Dads, do your kids have to walk on eggshells around you? Because you never know when you're going to fly off the handle. It says here, and one given to anger causes much transgression. Are you someone with what your words always make a situation more volatile, more dramatic, more awkward, more difficult? Because you, in your anger, compound the situation. I love preaching Proverbs because I don't have to like sit in my office and go, man, I wish I could come up for some illustrations. I like what Proverbs 26:21 says. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. When we have a fire, my girls, they look at dad, and I'll be honest, I like to just throw things into the fire and just see what happens. Like the extra marshmallow that falls on the ground has got sand on it, so nobody should eat it. You throw it in the fire, and you have that quick ignition. I think every boy at his core is like a little pyromaniac, right? It's like, what can we start on fire? But we know we add certain things, and it doesn't diminish the fire. It stokes it and makes it burn brighter and hotter. This says, just like charcoal to hot embers or fresh wood to a fire is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. Do the words you say increase and fuel conflict? Do you enjoy gossip and conflict between others and say things on both sides of the argument in order to keep it going? Do you enjoy talking about other people's difficulties in your conversation? Do you make other people's business your own? Do you see where this rings true today? And it's not a problem with the world out there. It's a problem with our own hearts in here as well. So spoken in the wrong way would be in anger. But we'd also say this. It's just speaking excessively. You're just talking too much. Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. The more you talk, the more you're inclined to sin. Who's with me for a vow of silence this week? Anybody? No. But seriously, we need to think about, are we speaking excessively? Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. It's like, a fool's mouth is like a 5-gallon bucket filled with water, and you just dump it out, and it just spills over. It comes out so quickly that the ground can't even absorb it, and it just creates puddles and creates a mess. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of fools pours out folly. So how would we describe foolish speak? It's speaking the wrong words at the wrong time, in the wrong way. And maybe we don't struggle with lying, but what if we often speak in anger? What if we talk before we listen? I think for all three to not be true in our lives, we have to be people that live according to God's standard. I think there's foolishness in all of our speech, speaking the wrong words at the wrong time in the wrong way. That's how you have the recipe for foolish speech, which kills and destroys. So let's look at what Proverbs says positively then about our speech. What is skilled speech that heals? That heals instead of destroys. That offers life instead of death. Well, you probably know where we're going. It's the right words. Proverbs speaks much about using right words. Right words could be encouragement. Encouragement. I love Proverbs 12:25. It says this: anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a word makes him glad. You've been there. I've been there. You are just, your chest is like 30 pounds heavier with anxiety. Maybe it's anxiety because of issues at home, job loss, finances, health concerns. Anxiety weighs him down. Proverbs speaks to real human experience 3,000 years ago and today. But a good word makes him glad. Have you ever had somebody text you or call you or say something to you and you're like, man, did God just tell him to tell me that? It was like, man, you couldn't have picked a better time to reach out. I needed to hear that today. I've received that message and sent that message. I needed to hear this today. Our words can give life. Our words can provide healing. The right words, a word of encouragement. Proverbs 16:24 says, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Gracious words are like honeycomb. Honeycomb tastes good, especially in Solomon's day, pre-high fructose corn syrup and sugar cane. Honey was your source of sweetness. But unlike all of those things, honey is also good for you. I think when we think of something being good for us, it not being sweet. But gracious words are good for us, and they taste good going down. It tastes good and good for you. That's what right words are. That's what words of encouragement are. So right words could be encouragement. It could also be instruction. You can actually inform and improve somebody's life by imparting wise words to them. Proverbs 10:13, on the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found. We read this verse earlier. But a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense. So like right on his lips, right on the tips of his tongue, are wise words for a man who has understanding. Who's the wisest person you know in your life, personally? Not somebody on the internet, not a YouTube influencer. Who's the wisest person you know? I'm going to guess when that person speaks, you lean in and listen because you know there's something that you can grab and use in your own life. And finally, our words, right words could be words of restoration, restoring people, helping people. Proverbs 10:21 says, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. You can provide restoration and health to people with your words, and it's not just 1% of time. Our words have influence, and you can influence a lot of people very positively with the words that you use. I think of teachers, school teachers, man, they're like superheroes. We have so many people in our church that either serve as a teacher or support staff in our school system. You probably have a beloved teacher from growing up. I had my third grade teacher, Miss Rosenberg. She would say this, practice makes permanent. I wanted it to be practice makes perfect, but practice makes permanent. What you do most often becomes permanent. So if you practice imperfectly, you're just making She would also say this, never assume anything. Boy, isn't that good advice for a third grader and for a 35-year-old young pastor and dad. Never assume anything. Wise words can feed many people. Speaking the right words. And this word can also look like rebuke. Proverbs 28:23. Whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. So you can either be a fool who flatters, or you can be a wise person who offers rebuke. Now, sometimes we think of rebuke as you're walking around with that Louisville slugger and you're just beating everybody over the head on everything they do wrong. We're going to look at saying things at the right time in the right way, but word of rebuke says this: I'm going to tell people in love what they need to hear more than what they want to hear. Can you imagine where we'd be at if we only told people what they want to hear? We'd have all love but no truth, and that just makes for a squishy church that doesn't actually accomplish anything. But instead, we want to tell people what they need to hear, not just what they want to hear. So notice that wisdom starts with the right words spoken at the right time. A fool has terrible timing with his words. A wise person says just the right thing at the right time. And we describe that as using appropriate words or speaking appropriately. Proverbs 15:23. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. That word apt we don't use very often, but it's related to the word appropriate. It's just timely. It is just, oh man, you said that at exactly the right time. Can I give you a pro tip? I haven't been married long, but I'm learning the apt thing. When my wife is trying to get ready or get the girls ready for school or get ready to head out of town, that is not the time when she is focused and trying to, that's not the time for me to either correct something or to give her brand new information. That's a time to be quiet and to let her cook, not physically cook, but let her work and help, because she's doing a great service to our family. Maybe you have to have a hard conversation. You know you need to have it. Think, when is the best time for me to do this? Because you never know what's going on in somebody's life. Maybe you have to address an issue at work. Looking to do it at the right time. Sometimes, I think in our burden to get something on, we just dump on people. But a wise person doesn't dump. They carefully and deliberately dispense information. Proverbs 25:11 carries this idea, and it says, a word fitly spoken, this is a very common proverb, is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Now, you might wrinkle your nose at an apple, but remember, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. That's a proverb. There you go. Not in the Bible. Still a good word. Proverbs says this, when you say the right thing, it's like a refreshing apple served to you on a silver platter. Do you dispense your words in a greasy McDonald's takeaway wrapper? Or do you give it on a silver platter? Word fitly spoken, a well-timed encouraging word. I can't tell you how encouraging it is as a pastor to get a text at 7 o'clock on Monday morning from a church member saying, thank you for your ministry yesterday. I'm praying for you. Oh my word. How timely that is. Or a text Thursday afternoon. Hey, I know you're on the home stretch of sermon prep. I'm praying for you as you deliver God's word. That's not a requirement. You go through a membership class, it never says to do that. But that's a blessing to me. And I want to be a person that is a blessing to other people. I don't think I'm going to get to heaven and God's going to say, Jared, I wish you were a little bit more cynical and critical when you're here on earth. I don't think that's going to happen. I want to be somebody who's known as an encourager, a word fitly spoken. Part of also you saying things at the right time is being thoughtful with your words. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. That short pause before you respond can mean a world of difference between being foolish and being wise. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. Notice what it says here. It's not the mind of the righteous ponders how to answer. It's the heart. There's a connection in Scripture between your heart, your mind, and your mouth. Heart, mind, mouth. They're all related to each other. But the wicked person, what does he do? He just dumps the jar. Proverbs 13:3 also says this, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. So you have something important called your life to guard. Do you put an armed guard at the doorway of your life, aka your mouth? You have an armed guard there, guarding it, making sure only the right things come in and the right things come out. Or do you leave a wide open gate and just whatever can come in and out and end up destroying your life? Being thoughtful with our words. And the right timing also would include this, and this is a little bit of an oxymoron, but unspoken words. That's an oxymoron. You know an oxymoron, right? Jumbo, shrimp, working, vacation, airline service. You know, all of those are oxymorons. If you work for an airline, I apologize. It's a cheap barb. I was just, using my words carelessly. There it is. Unspoken words. And boy, isn't this rich coming for me. Proverbs 17, 27 and 28. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge. And he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. This is so fun. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise when he closes his lips. He is deemed intelligent. You can appear wise, even if you're really a fool. You can look wise just by keeping your mouth shut. Not everything that can be said ought to be said. We've tried to run through a prism in our family, and it's really fun, not really, when it's used against you. But I think some of our criteria for saying things is it true? Obviously, we want to say true things. But we think, as long as it's true, I can say it. Or I should say it. But I like this prism, this criteria. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it helpful? Is it necessary? Is it true? Well, even if it's true, it might not be kind. That comes to that timing piece, saying things appropriately. Is it helpful? Are you just correcting somebody so that you're the smartest person in the room? Is it helpful? And is it necessary? Does it need to be said? And if the answer to all four of those is yes, go ahead and say it. But if the answer is not yes, maybe consider leaving it unspoken. I think this verse is probably where the modern proverb that Abraham Lincoln is attributed with this quote comes from. It says this, "It's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt." I love that. Rather be quiet and somebody think, man, is that guy dumb? He doesn't say anything. Than to open your mouth and go, oh no, that guy actually is dumb. That's what that proverb means. So a wise person uses the right words at the right time and finally in the right way. By right way, we mean this. He or she is gentle with their speech. Proverbs 15, 1 through 4. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. It is wise and honorable to be gentle with your speech. I think in our day and age, with the prevalence of social media and the desire of guys to get attention and build a platform themselves, they enjoy being the guy that drops what we call truth bombs. Just explode facts on people and just there's a lot of collateral damage. And we think that's tough and that's manly and that's speaking truth to power and all of this. But a Proverbs wise, skilled man and woman uses their words gently as a tree of life. Instead of dropping truth bombs, what if we were winsome and gentle in our spirit? My wife grew up with only brothers. I grew up with only brothers. And God's like, here's three girls. Figure out how to talk to them. And I learned and am learning and will continue to be learning that I have to look at my tone, my timing, even my facial expressions, my body language. All of that is wrapped into gentle communication. And I'm still a piece of work on that one. Lastly, the right way would mean humbly. Humbly speak. Proverbs 27, 1 and 2. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Let another praise you, and not your own mouth. A stranger, and not your own lips. When you speak, is the goal of your words to make people think, man, he or she's amazing. Wow, I didn't know that about them. Now I think even more highly of them. Are you guilty of what we call the humble brag? The aw shucks moment. Where you say something, not out and out bragging, because people find that repulsive, but you kind of slip it under. Like, yeah, I have kind of been working my way up at work. Yeah, in fact, did you know that I was asked to serve on a board or a committee, but I ended up saying no to it? We say things like that in order to heap praise for ourselves. But I like what it says here. Let somebody else praise you. Let another praise you and not your own mouth. A stranger and not your own lips. And it comes down to there, our heart. That's that connection again. Mind, heart, mouth. Why do you say the things you say? Is it to make much of you or to make much of God? Is it to bless others or is it to receive praise and honor for yourself? And it really comes back to the heart. Because we're not just our goal isn't just to take care of a speech problem, but to address the heart. And this is what Proverbs says. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So if you and I are going to be people who are wise with our speech, healing and life to others instead of destruction and death, where are we going to get those words from? We need to get them from the Lord. We can make our own plans. Those belong to us. But the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. We need words that come from the Lord. If you struggle, if you've been convicted like I have been this week in the area of speech, guess what? We don't have a speech problem, we have a heart problem. So if we just try to make some quick substitutions with our speech without addressing the heart, we're gonna fail. And we're going to be right back where we started. See, you and I, we are hopelessly sinful apart from Jesus. And a speech problem is an indicator of our heart, of a heart posture that thinks too highly of ourselves, that doesn't look at people as precious image bearers of God, that just look at people like tools that we can use to get what we want. And so we need God to give us new hearts and new words. And so if our speech only comes from us, if we speak with words that come from us, this is what will be true. We'll lie to get people to believe us. We'll gossip to push others down and elevate ourselves. We'll flatter to use people to get what we want. We'll speak hastily without thinking and cause a lot of damage. We'll speak in anger and create more conflict and disagreement. We will speak too much and later regret our words. That's the product of somebody who gets their words from themselves. But instead, if we ask God to align our heart to His, and if we speak the words that come from Him, this will be true. We will encourage others and relieve their anxiety. We will instruct people and help them live wisely. We will restore people into a right relationship with God and with others. We will speak appropriately and bring joy to others. We will speak thoughtfully and prevent unnecessary heartache and pain. we will speak less and listen more. We will speak gently and dampen conflict instead of fueling it. We will speak humbly, letting God shine forth as the hero in our lives. Do you see the difference there? It's black and white, plain as day. So our big idea this morning is this. Ask God to give you skilled speech that gives life and healing to others. We need something, a changed heart and a changed mouth, but it's change we can't come up with on our own. We have to ask God for help. And that alone is a humbling ask. Humbling act to ask for help, to say, God, I need you, help me. So what we need to take away today is this. We need to ask God to give you skilled speech that gives life and healing to others. Our words have the power of life and death. Our words can destroy, our words can heal. We need God to help us use our words appropriately. I invite you on the pew in front of you. I know we have several guests today here on Father's Day. We're so glad you're here. I hope worshiping with God's people has been an encouragement to you today. In the pew rack in front of you, there's a little card called a connect card. It says connect right on the top. If you would, take a pen and just fill out the front of that card so we can loop you into what God's doing here at Carlisle Baptist Church. If you're a regular attender and member, I want to hear from you as well. Not a question as next steps, because we won't want to just be people that hear a message from God's word about speech, listen, think, that's good, and then go. We want to be somebody who responds. And here's the question for you. Where do you most need the Lord to take control of your tongue this week so your words can bring life instead of harm? Where do you most need the Lord to take control of your tongue? What would a spirit-controlled tongue look like this week in your life? All of us struggle. We might just struggle in different ways. Just take a moment By writing that down, you're telling God, God, I acknowledge this weakness in my life, and I want you to help me. I encourage you, if you have a phone, maybe just snap a picture of that next step so that you can review it this week. When we dismiss here in just a few moments, there's a little box off the soundboard. If there's any prayer requests or needs in your life, write those down as well. Drop them in there, and I want to take time to pray for you this week. May we be a people here at Carlisle Baptist Church that use our words to bring life and healing to others. Let's pray.